Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and today's going to be a very interesting conversation. We're going to be talking about false emergencies, and it's really working with time management. And, boy, I'm excited to get both my co-hosts. Miss Amy, how are you doing today? Oh, is she activated?
Oh, boy.
Go back to her next. Miss Judy, how are you doing today?
Hey. I'm exactly where I need to be because I am on time here today. Awesome.
That's awesome, too.
No false emergencies.
No false emergencies. Miss Amy, are you there?
Am I here?
There she is.
Am I here?
Yes, you are.
Can you hear me?
We're talking about time management today and these false emergencies. And how are you today?
I'm feeling like I'm having a false emergency because I'm speaking and nobody's hearing me. False, or is that true?
That's called technical difficulties, not necessarily. So we'll see what's going on with that. So the other day, Amy and Judy had this really great workshop that they did on time management, and there were some big epiphanies that kind of came out of that conversation and working with the people that were a part of that workshop. So I'd love for you guys to elaborate, and then we'll just kind of go with some of the things we talked about we could talk on, have for the show today.
So we were doing this great time management. Amy and I were doing this great time management presentation for an organization we work with. And one of the gentlemen in there, when we were talking about time management, talked about the concept of false emergencies. And Amy and I were both a little bit like, whoa, tell us more about that. And so he basically went on to say when people aren't utilizing their time right, they get on false emergencies, whether they're creating those false emergencies or they're jumping onto somebody else's false emergencies. And so when we got done with the presentation, Amy and I were a little taken back by that whole concept because it's not something we normally think about. I'm not saying we don't do it. We probably do. I think everybody does it. But we just thought, what a great conversation that would be just to kind of chat about what that looks like. So what's your take on it, Amy?
So I want to take this to a little bit different place with false emergencies and personally for us. And we've been talking about, what are our needs. And in the book Daring to Trust, they talk about the old model of need fulfillment, fulfill the need literally, as I first named it. And then this kind of a newer model here, feel the need, follow the need to its deeper meaning, fulfill the need in a new way. So what that's telling me with this false emergency is really, I believe it's coming down to trust. And, of course, you've got to do the work to know what's a priority, what isn't a priority. I think it's about learning to understand who am I, what am I here to do? And when you're really, and Judy and I have had this conversation a lot the last few days, about people don't knock you off your center and your priorities when you're really clear about that, whether it's at home, at work, or wherever it is. And so false emergencies can be coming from other places, can be coming from our own insecurities, can be coming from the world in general. For me, this is me speaking, it's about knowing yourself, trusting yourself, and, of course, knowing your work. And in terms of, whether you work with the Career Institute or Flowers for You or another organization is what is really true, what isn't true, and that helps you with what's really urgent and what isn't urgent.
Well, Judy just pulled up on her screen this really wonderful, that's just like a square that's basically broken down into four smaller squares and going into the sense of urgent and not urgent. So I think it would be really good for our listeners, our diners here, to talk about, what would be considered You know, I mean, you know, I want to automatically go to, like, when with your parental kind of stuff with parents, or whether, you know, you're a parent, you know, like, you kind of teach your kids, unless it's on fire or, you know,
bleeding, gushing blood.
Something's gushing blood or bleeding, or there's something on fire. It's not a major emergency or something like that. But I think it'd be really good to kind of break these down a little bit about, you know, what that is and looking at it, because there's nuances here of just when you're somebody who wants to be a pleaser or somebody who wants to be a helper, there's going to be things that basically get triggered for you of, you know, yeah, I could do that for that person, but yet is that something that's really worth your time to be doing something like that? And is it preventing them from having growth in the sense that that's something that they could be learning from when it's something that they feel an urgency or a sense that they want to be doing?
So this grid is awesome because there's four quadrants. The first one is urgent and important. That's an actual emergency. Okay, so that's something that goes right to the top of your priority list. Number two is not urgent but important. So it's an A on your list, right? It's like, okay, we got to get this done somehow today. Quadrant three, unimportant and interruptions. So those are things that, oh, gosh, somebody called and now I'm going to take their call. It's just really a kind of a fun call, but am I going to let it steal my time, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And then number four is unimportant and a time waster, not urgent. But there's a lot of opportunities for other folks or for ourselves when we fall into quadrant four or quadrant three to allow others to create an emergency, or when we're in those quadrants, we're uncomfortable with not being productive, and so we create an emergency to push ourselves back up into quadrant one or two,
mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, there's such a thing as being addicted to chaos, it's, you know, and having these things where, you know, it's just like, I just feel like it is on fire, and having that something that I need to be able
to
work on.
I'm going
to
make sure it's on fire so I can feed that addiction.
Right. Exactly. We'll push it to an extreme so I can justify the fact that that's how I, you know, see, I was right. That's something I had to do, you know, to take care of.
Well, and Amy brought up a really good point yesterday when we were chatting about this, and she said sometimes that people create those emergencies so they can be the savior. They can be the one that comes in and saves the day and toots their horn and just, oh, look at me, right? And so it's important in your life to look at that and see if you're doing that. If you're doing it and you're okay with it, good on you.
Yeah.
If you're doing it and you're not okay with it, say, how do I change that behavior? Or if you have someone in your life that's doing it and you don't like it, you need to have that conversation with them.
So I think part of this is just getting to a place of just being, oh, gee, I'm aware of this now. I didn't know that this was a thing. Like Judy and Amy were saying, like, gosh, I hadn't even really thought about something this when it comes to sense of time. And being able to maybe bring that back into your habit journal. And looking at that, mm-hmm. as like, are these habits that I make okay, and can I, you know, be able to have a conversation with that about, you know, what do I like, maybe what I don't like about it, and some things that I, because there's always going to be something that you're getting out of it or you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So being able to look at that and have it be something that can be very productive for you, I mean, no matter what, because, I mean, looking at something and being able to modify is always a good thing.
Right.
What you have going on. So go ahead, Amy.
A couple things come to mind, like Judy just said, with the habit journal. I want to really encourage you, support you, and even push you a little bit to start looking at where are the areas, and I think it really comes down to my ego's in charge and my old patterns to stay safe are activated, or am I willing to be aware and notice what's happening and make new choices that support health mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in my relationships. And I want to go back to something that's always in play that we need to remember is, okay, our brains are always creating new pathways. And so by doing the new habits, by doing a lot of great practices, we can rewire our brain to coming from a place of healthy and not jumping on, oh, my God, this is on fire, or they're telling me this is an urgent thing, so it must be. You know, and so back to in the coaching habit where they talk about 5 times a second, your brain is scanning the environment and asking itself, is this safe or is this dangerous? And so when people start talking about, oh, my God, it's urgent, it's an emergency, then that activates that. So having a process where you take a nice deep breath, you stop, And let's just put this with time management. This is one of my favorite time management tools. Stop, take a nice deep breath, and ask yourself, is this the best use of my time right now?
Mm-hmm. That's really a great one. That's not necessarily something that would be, you know, really out there, but boy, it's, yeah, very, very excellent. And I want to go back for a second, too, like with what you said about, you know, that our brains are always developing. You know, there used to be a belief out of there. You got to a certain age, and that just wasn't true. But they've done a lot of research where they just realize, you know, we are constantly growing and changing. So it's something that, you know, no matter how old you are, you're being able to develop and change and be able to have new things. So it's, you know, the power of question, being curious, is always going to be something that really can benefit your life.
Let me, I want to read something from this book, What is Daring to Trust? And his other book was How to Be an Adult in Relationships. I love that. I haven't read that, but I love the title. So he talks about trust and the brain. He says, neurologically, we are restoring rebuilding our neural networks for trust. Scientists have shown that our brain has a lifelong plasticity or changeability. We have a lot going on for us. Our inherent nature is ever open to evolving into the best version of ourselves. We can trust that when we take the psychological steps, neural shifts will occur.
Yep, absolutely. So and to me, that's so exciting because, I just know that I'm a lifetime learner. So it really just helps me to encourage me and just knowing that that's something that's productive that you want to be doing for yourself all the time.
And I'm going to add another step to this. So, yay, we're learning. And wisdom, to me, is when we actually apply it to our lives. Like with Judy and I doing the webinar the other day on time management, yay, and people had a lot of ahas. It was an amazing webinar. And we really encouraged them to, here's some tools, get a coach, get a mentor, now go incorporate this into your life.
Right. Yeah, because I had heard the other day, you know, because people always just have all these online classes that you can go and learn, and there isn't necessarily any interaction with other people. So you can really process and be able to do things with it. So it's so important, you know, and I that's even having like a book club like we do here. You know, it's so great to have, you know, to take these concepts and be able to just roll them into something else and having these different kinds of conversations because nothing should be stagnant. It's like I take that idea and I've maybe had, you know, 5 or 10 years of experience that gave me the opportunity to be able to write this book or have these concepts, and how is it now? How is it evolving? How is it changing to where those basic concepts can help me to be that much more in with myself, with others, and just moving things to a new level?
So I want to take this concept of false emergencies personally and organizationally.
Mm-hmm.
And so personally, I agree with what both of you are saying. You just, when somebody brings that to you, are you starting to create that false emergency in your life? My process looks a little different than Amy's. I say to myself, wait a minute, take a minute here. Who am I? What am I about? And is this even my lane to jump in?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I'm all about staying in my lane, at least trying to these days, right? Because running Career Institute for so many years, I was in charge of a lot of lanes, and I still am, but I had a lot of more people that I was working with in the past. And so constantly people would bring emergencies to me wanting me to fix them. And now I have a whole different approach to that. I take a deep breath. I look at them and I say, wow, that's a big opportunity. What are you going to do with that?
I look forward to seeing what you're going to do with that.
Right. And just looking at them in a loving way and having them go, oh, okay, she's not jumping on board here. And, you know, I that's helped me develop myself and my sanity and my purpose and my passion and my patience, right? And it's very hard for me because it would be so much easier for me to jump in and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not teaching them in the process.
Right.
And so I see it as more of a teacher, a mentor role instead of a I'm just not helping role.
Right. Because ultimately being a teacher, you know, it's just like anything. I mean, that's one thing that Michael's always talked about with the coaching habit. It's one of the most powerful things you can do is be quiet. Be in silence and let that person tell you really what's happening for them or not happening for them. And then, you know, you can do the awe question and what else, Uh-huh. Or you can go, oh, gee, tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even a matter of really having anything where, you know, it's, you know, are you going to be, you know, in the person of giving suggestions or having the questions?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that. So go ahead, Amy.
All right, take a nice deep breath, girls. Who's really mentoring who in those situations?
That, there you go.
I think it's a two-way street. You're being mentored by them, too, to step into
Absolutely.
Those ways of being.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, see, that's an issue of trust, Amy, with yourself, right? Trusting yourself to be in that seat of learning.
Is it?
I think it is because it's that matter of, like, and it's almost a, just as you're saying, and tell me more to that person, you're learning. You're saying to yourself internally, and tell me more.
Uh-huh.
Because as you're inquiring for them, I'm sure there's got to be an internal inquiry that's happening for yourself because you're in this relationship of conversation. And, you know, gosh, how could that not be something where you're doing a little bit of inquiry with yourself?
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And just really evaluating before you jump into something whether you belong there
mm-hmm.
and what you want your piece of that to be.
Well, and I think, too, that there's something to be said that this person came in front of you for a reason. So the fact that, like, is this part of what I need to be having, I think part of it, too, could be, you know, maybe it's a lesson of boundaries for me. Maybe it's a lesson in the way that I've learned how to be able to have a conversation with somebody maybe in a different way from other experiences or things I've been reading or whatever, that it's bringing this in front of me to be able to have my way of where I'm, you know, I'm tempering the sword and, you know, working with it just as I am with that other person. So how about you, Anne?
Working in lots of organizations where there was a lot of crisis and working for the Ballistic Missile Office, building missiles, there were, you know, a lot of crises. And what I learned, one of the things I did, I took mindfulness training, the Jon Kabat-Zinn training, during all that. And I learned that the crazier it gets, the calmer I need to be. And so
yep.
as I see crisis around me or swirling or in other people, my job is to start breathing or tapping or really getting into that neutral space. One of the things I like to say is when I'm in a situation, do I have a point of view or a viewing point? And when I get to the viewing
good.
Point, I'm a lot more effective.
That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. That's great perspective.
Because it's
because
easy to get
have both
caught
of those
in
all
it, right?
times.
Because our
choice.
Brain wants to be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Yeah, Amy was really, when we were talking about just kind of getting some notes for what how we wanted to kind of cover today. So part of it, you know, is really looking at, you know, when it comes to these kind of conversations that we're having, when we're looking at, you know, oh, gee, I do have people who are pulling on my time. You know, I may be making it to where I'm willing to take all these interruptions. I'm willing to be having people wasting my time because, you know, I think part of it, too, is defining, you know, is that wasting my time? And once you realize it is, you're like, oh, gosh, gee, I didn't really want that to be happening. So there's a lot of really great questions that come from Daring to Trust with David Richo about being able to, like Amy was saying, you know, what am I feeling in this moment? And it's getting back to your feelings and getting just a sense of yourself. You know, what am I afraid will happen if I fulfill this need? And that could be to that another person or to yourself and being able to look at those things. You know, and what is the story that I'm telling myself about having this need or this other person's need in the way that I would want to help them to fulfill it or be working with them. So there's just a lot of good ways of being able to move that. And I think it'd be wonderful. We're going to go ahead and post some of those on the community with a Facebook page with Transformation Cafe on Facebook. So anything with that, Amy, that with some of those questions? One of them I really loved was about, you know, what were the messages I received about having the need before when it came to my parents?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I think that's a really good one. It's always good to go back to just, you know, what was it? Because those first 6 years of our life were so monumental in our belief systems of what we make okay or not okay. And a lot of that is being able to go back to those moments and being able to say, you know, I'm not that anymore. What are the benefits from the things I learned and what are the things that I want to be able to let go? Because I realized that was just who I was in that moment. Or those were things my mom and dad thought were necessary that had really nothing to do with me. It was just a matter of me being within those systems of family, and now I realize that's just not something that's ever really served me. It was their fears that they put on me that really have something that really had no reason to really be fearful. So I think that's always an interesting. You need to be that chaos agent and say, hell no, not going to go.
Well, and technically, I'm going to say a couple things. Nobody can waste your time. You're the one that makes the decisions about your time, whether you think you do or not. You always do.
Uh-huh.
And so if time is being wasted, it was because of a choice you made, even if it doesn't look like you made one. And going back to with trauma, you know, we traditionally talk about fight, flee, flop, freeze. And there's another one that they call friend, and it's like, please don't, you know, feed me, don't eat me, right? And protecting yourself. And I think a lot of times that's in play in our relationships that we don't really realize, even with our time management. Oh, I've got to make sure, you know, I take care of you and listen to you, or you won't take care of me and I, you know, I may die. I mean, it does, again, the brain goes to that crazy place. So a course that Judy and I are taking and have been for several years, it's called Married at First Sight. It's a show on Lifetime. And they do a really good job of going to, people think at the beginning when they're literally married at first sight, and they think they have all these needs. And they do have counselors that work with them, and they have really great processes. And as you go through the episodes and the season of the show, you start to evolve to, oh, this is what I have to have. What was really underneath that? What was really underneath that? And the need may be completely different after you've done some processing.
Yeah, it's very true. And that show is very interesting because these individuals come into the show with having all these behaviors, and then they try to combine these behaviors together. And what that does is it only magnifies your behavior. And so what you do sometimes when you enter an organization to work there, you have a very similar experience. Am I in alignment with this organization and my time management, my priorities, and my goals, or not? And so that's very interesting that you talk about that, because it really comes down to a matter of trust as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think let's go to that point, a culture. What is the culture of time management? What is the culture of emergency? What is the culture of addiction to drama in your life, in your family, in your workplace?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
And does that work
and
for
we've
you
all
anymore?
Had somebody,
and, right?
Well, we've all had somebody that comes into our life that is, I mean, we're not that drama in our family. I really don't feel like. But, you know, from time to time, we jump on board. But we've had people kind of come into our lives that are drama. And for the first little bit, you try to help them and fix things. And then you just get like, I can't do this anymore. Right? And so you start to realize that, wait a minute, I need to make a choice how to deal with this person differently.
Right, right.
But that's all on you. Just like Amy said, it's all on you how you choose to deal with it. If they're not the problem, you need to choose that, oh, I just don't do that anymore. I hand them back the baby and say, that looks like a big problem. How are you going to deal with that?
One thing I really loved about, you know, looking at time management with, because I didn't go to the workshop with these guys, so I went on YouTube and was looking at different kinds of stuff. You know, here we're talking about that owning of time. It's like, I own my own time because I'm making these choices. Just a second. In any given moment, we are doing what we most want to be doing.
Right.
So it's really important to do that. And it's also realizing that if you're not doing something, you know, you're basically, you didn't set it as a priority or you would have done it.
Yep.
So it's that whole thing about boundaries, about ownership, about looking at different kinds of stuff. And again, going back to the habit journal and maybe looking at that, it's like, you know, what have I been making, like, oh, gee, I'm going to do that tomorrow or next week or whatever. There's all kinds of really wonderful things that you can do with that. One of the ones that I really loved was he called it a daily habit, and he called it the daily highlight. And that's basically you pick one thing that you're going to do that day. And that's the only thing that you're requiring of yourself. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of other things you need to get done that day, but being able to have that daily highlight, you basically make that something that, you know, you get that done. It just kind of pumps, it's going to be pumping that muscle of being able to have accomplishment mindset. it makes you feel like, yes, I can get things done. Yes, I did get that done. Because we all have a tendency to have the, you know, perfectionism of, gee, I could have done that one more thing. No, I got that done today. So it's that sense of satisfaction being able to, like, what else could I do? And then it's almost, and, you know, we could get into the awe of productivity and just say, and what else? And what else? And what else?
Yeah.
So it really helps you to just move your mindset into basically, instead of being a procrastinator, being somebody who is an instigator of being able to have those things move and happen in a way that can be really productive for yourself and others. Because once you kind of have that, it makes everybody feel like, you know, it's, I think a lot of it, too, is making it into bite-sized pieces. Breaks things down to where, you know, could I do this in the next, you know, 2 minutes? Could I do this in the next hour or whatever? And one of the other ones that I really loved about looking at this whole time thing is, like, you know, we have a tendency to basically give ourselves too much time to do stuff. It's like, oh, I'm going to take my whole day to be, you know, cleaning my room or whatever. When actually it's like, I'm going to give myself this next hour to clean this right here, and whatever I get done, I get done. And I'll bet you could get a lot more done within that hour because you've just really focused your time, and it's not something that's you know, you're giving yourself all this extra time thinking that, you know, you'll allow yourself to have those, you know, interruptions. You allow yourself to have that thing where you'll find things that are wasters. I always think of, you know, when you're in college or school and you've got this big test that you've got to study for, all of a sudden, gosh darn it, you have to clean that refrigerator. Why does that happen? I don't know.
Yep.
I guess basically, you know, put yourself in a procrastinating position. You're like, yeah, I really don't want to study, but gosh, that dishwasher is filthy. I need to, you know, change my dishes or clean that refrigerator. It's those things that we put off in that sense of just like, let me just delegate this time. And then I think along with that, too, is like, I get this done, I'm going to treat myself to something else. I'll go out and get a coffee, or I'll do something, and I'll, maybe I'll watch an episode of, you know, watching these guys who are trying to solve problems with their
Married at First Sight.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Amy.
So a couple things. With your habit journal, when people tell me what they value and what's important to them, if they're not putting their time towards it, that's not true. So
right.
What I want you to kind of look at, where am I putting my time and what I say my values are? And if they are not in alignment, you need to look at that, and then you need to maybe make some new choices and new habits. And then when I'm working with a person or organization and there's trauma going on, there's a couple that come to me immediately to mind for me of organizations, people, sure, there's plenty of those, but is the drama, is the crisis a lifestyle or a situation?
Yeah,
and there's a particular organization, something happened yesterday, that I'm pretty sure it's a lifestyle that this organization has, and I'm going to back up from it because I've been working with them for several years, and the drama never stops. And there's always a good reason,
yeah,
but I don't want to be playing in that game. And the same thing with people, and it's because especially with COVID and everything that's happened, people have been used to, you know, being in, oh, my God, crisis, and now the next thing, and now the next thing. It's about, all right, let's help each other to rewire our brains that everything doesn't have to be a crisis.
Right. You know, and I'm going to put that out just to the media. Because, I mean, you watch any level of news, you know, it's like, you know, breaking news, you know, it's always this thing that's basically, oh, my gosh, you got to pay attention because we've got this thing for you to be paying attention to. So a lot of that, too, is, you know, going back to practices of just, you know, like you're saying, you know, is this my circus? Is this my monkey? No, it's not. You know, so a lot of it is, you know, being able to have the discernment of what that is. But part of that, too, is being able, you know, if I turn that phone off, would I still have this sense of something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being able to have it, be able to slow it down, look at it. I love what the whole stop, breathe, and is this worth my time? I love that, Amy. That's just such a great thing of being able to have that viewing point of looking at something and just, you know, let me just slow this down for a second. So just like anything, silence. And looking at that from a level of, well, can I be quiet for a few moments and have a sense of just, you know, let me just look at this and be in a place of silence, that really can help you to be in a place of just breathing and looking and just pausing. I think instead of stop, it's like, let me pause and breathe. You know, it's all good. It's all good. And we can do that in every moment. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're saying, we choices for our time and choices for the way that we're basically doing things on an internal level, even though we're getting things done. It's like, how do I do that in a mindful way?
And I think we need to go from urgency to clarity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just jump on the emergency button. Take a deep breath and say, is this my purpose? Is this my goal? Is this my lane? Then shoot.
Because you can bring in that clarity. That's going to be something that helps you to feel empowered, helps you to have just that deeper, deeper sense of mind, gives you a sense of confidence of being in that moment and being able to, I can step to this next moment and see what's happening. It really gives you that much more of a sense of like, yes, it still may feel like there's chaos and things need to get choice made to be able to move forward. But in that, being able to have a calmness about it that really can help you that much more and people around you, which is very good. And
the crazier it gets, the calmer you need to be.
Exactly. Remember, if you're tired and you can never feel like you're rested, you could be jumping on too many emergencies. Yep, that's a very good clue.
That's a good point.
That's a
really good point.
All right, Bill. Well, I'm so glad that this came up in your workshop. And, you know, there's a lot of overflow into just new ways of looking at things, bringing it into the habit journal, having a sense of inquiry about it to be able to look at it. So I just think it's something that's going to be really, really something to move forward with. So, you know, go forward and have some new time management stuff. And like I said, we'll put some questions out with the Facebook page and have a link maybe to some different things for tag management with a couple videos. So thank you for joining us as always. We really enjoyed having you here at the cafe. Have a beautifully clear day. So am I using my time or is time using me? Yes. The answer is yes. Go forward and we have fun with that. So have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.